You'll find an authoritative witness to the gospel of salvation by grace alone in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, the Concordia Commentary on Galatians. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Andrew Das. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on Galatians, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September.
I want to say to our Mars Hill family, past and present, that I am genuinely, deeply sorry.
Male and female is not a bad thing. Sex making babies is not a bad thing. Marriage is not a bad thing. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with building society around those truths.
With Joel Osteen, it's very palatable. And I think that's why the subtlety of it makes it more dangerous.
Before long, the churches started looking like revival meetings. Cancels were gone, pulpits were gone, baptismal fonts gone, Lord's table gone, because you had to have a stage for the evangelist personality and charisma.
My name is Dario, and I wanted to say that active duty soldiers absolutely love Issues, etc.
I do this in part for a living, so it's something that I find quite interesting, but every Christian as well, in one way or another, either good or bad, is exposed to this every week. One would hope every week. Preaching. Now, there is the preacher's perspective, and then there's the perspective from the pew. One of the things that I've noticed, I think everybody's noticed it, is that sermons are generally getting shorter. Sometimes painfully short, where people will walk out and say, I don't feel like I got my money's worth, so to speak. Now, that doesn't mean that they were always super long, but there was a time when preaching kind of took a little more time than it does today, and now people are, well, they're raising their wrists, their eyes, or checking their phones for the time, trying to find out, you know, how far are we into this and how much farther do we have to go. I can still sit down on any given evening, and I will this evening as well, and devote three solid hours to watching a baseball game. But we are now, in terms of sermon content, we are now, well, we're down to what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes seems long now, 10 seems a little long-ish. And a column in the Wall Street Journal called The Elements of Sermonizing Style has the subtitle, Don't Go Too Long, 8 minutes max, and keep politics out of it. We're going to be talking about this recent Wall Street Journal column titled The Elements of Sermonizing Style with Dr. Carl Fekencher. A little bit later, Pastor David Peterson is going to join us. We're going to talk about a new survey on what's being called the rise of informality in worship, but we could also view it as the decrease of formality in worship. What is this about? Is it about people simply wanting to be more comfortable on Sunday morning? Is it not just what people want, or is it what the church wants? Is it what the church should want? Pastor David Peterson will be our guest in the next half hour of the program. You can join us 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our beloved on-demand listeners can always, any time of day or night, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a recent Wall Street Journal column titled The Elements of Sermonizing Style, Dr. Carl Fekencher. He is Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, welcome back.
Great to be back. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
I don't know if you've been teaching your students to preach shorter, but I'm sure that you, along with everyone else, has noticed that sermons have grown shorter in the last 50 years. What's the reason for this, and is this necessarily mean that we're getting better, shorter and better preaching?
Well, that's a great question, and of course, short is a relative thing. I certainly teach my students to preach shorter sermons than Luther did, sermons that were an hour, shorter than Walther did, sermons that were 45 minutes a century or century and a half ago, or in Luther's case, 5 centuries ago. People are able to process a good deal more, I think, than people often give them credit for. It is true, when I was young, sermons were a fairly standard 22 minutes in Lutheran congregations, and now it's a good deal shorter than that. Many places, 12 minutes is standard. I know of Lutheran congregations where the standard is much shorter, kind of like the 8 minutes that is referred to in the Wall Street Journal article that you mentioned there. I really do think that that is giving the power of preaching and the ability of people to listen a lot less credit, in a sense, than probably should be the case. And there's, I think, very good research to support that. The initial reaction might be something like this. Well, if we only have them for 1 hour a week and only a small portion of that really is the preaching, do we really want to go as short as 8 minutes, even 12 minutes or some rather arbitrary number? We really do want to be sure that preaching continues to be a very central part of our worship, because it is by hearing the word that our people are brought to faith and strengthened in faith. Faith comes by hearing, St. Paul says in Romans, and the Holy Spirit works through the word when it's preached. There really can't be any kind of arbitrary number of minutes attached, but just a couple of really small elements of research that I think fly in the face of what we're sometimes told about something like, in this particular article, 8 minutes. One is that there is substantial research, quite current really, that says 20 minutes, and that's a kind of an old magic number not too long ago, that 20 minutes is about the most that people can follow. And that same research says that comprehension begins to drop off after about 16 and a half minutes. Well, that's a good deal more than eight. But I think even more interesting is the work that David Buttrick has done. David Buttrick is one of the best recognized homileticians in America. He's by no means Lutheran, and by no means would we endorse everything that Buttrick writes, including about preaching itself, the homiletics involved. But he has done probably the best research of any contemporary homiletician as to how people process information. And he found in his research that it takes about 3 minutes, or perhaps a little more than that, 3 to 4 minutes, for a hearer to begin to form up in his mind the full impact of a single idea. 3 to 4 minutes. But then he also says that a sermon ideally will put together a number of 3 to 4 minute segments. He calls each 3 to 4 minute segment a move, and he refers to a series of those as a structure. And he suggests 4 to 6 moves in one structured sermon. And so you do the arithmetic, and on the very minimal end, that's 12 minutes. And on the larger end, that's 24 minutes. So that really gives us the same kind of range that we've been talking about in contemporary preaching for a good while. 12 on the bottom and 24 on the top, that sure makes the 15 to 20 minute kind of thing that I recommend to my students sound pretty manageable. His point is, though, that we don't present the hearers with one big monolithic block of 15 to 20 minutes of material. That would be one unbroken chain of logic, for example, or one very repetitive driving home of a point, but rather that a single point should be made in a series of recognizable steps, or in his schematic, a series of images, which also is a rather interesting idea too.
What is preaching for? You referenced that that Romans passage. You know, how shall they believe unless they hear, unless they have someone to preach to them? What is preaching for? Why is it necessary?
Well, it is preaching the Word of God, and primarily the orally proclaimed Word of God that the Holy Spirit uses to create faith. Now, it's not certainly as if the Word of God in print cannot create faith. It certainly does. The Holy Spirit works through the Word in any form, and a Gideon Bible has brought more than a few people to faith, just picking up the Bible in the hotel room. But God's paradigm for proclamation, for the gospel to be disseminated, really is live and in person, person to people proclamation, oral proclamation of the word. People come to faith when they hear or when they read that God in Christ Jesus has taken away their sins, that God has done everything to reconcile them to God, that Jesus, by his death on the cross, has repaired the enormous, the infinite rift between God and man that our sin created. It's such an amazing thing that God would create us without sin in his image. We would violate that. We would sin against God, and not only in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, but every one of us since rebel against God, ignore God, and yet God would do what would seem to be unthinkable. God would suffer the penalty for all of those things we have done against him. That we human beings could never come to know and believe in any other way than if God tells us in his word. And it really is God's divine wisdom, God's design, God's paradigm, which says the primary means of that gospel message getting out will be preaching, people speaking the word to other people. So it's absolutely essential. And that, of course, is why we would never want to shortchange it, whatever in terms of minutes shortchanging might be.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We're talking about a recent Wall Street Journal column titled The Elements of Sermonizing Style. He's Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We will be right back. Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest, Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Just a couple weeks ago, we had someone pass through the doors here at Lutheran Public Radio, who's on his way, second career man as they call him, on his way up to Fort Wayne, Indiana, to begin classes with fear and trembling. And I asked him, as I often do, you know, what was it? I knew a little bit of his history, but what was it that finally got you to decide at long last, and for him, at considerable sacrifice, to go and study for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana? And his answer was, well, it was an event called Prayerfully Consider. Now, what this is an opportunity for you to go up to the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to spend some time, see what SEM life is like, both in the classroom, outside the classroom, especially in the chapel, interact with the students, interact with the faculty, see what it's like. Get the whole picture for yourself as you prayerfully consider studying for the pastoral ministry or for the deaconess studies as well. They also offer a way of doing that as well. Find out more about Prayerfully Consider that's coming up here in October, the 9th through the 11th, the three-day event right there on the campus where you can see what SEM life is like at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit them on the web, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call toll-free, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. Dr. Fikencher, one of the things that the Wall Street Journal column points out is that one of the most popular preachers in the United States and indeed in the world right now, Joel Osteen, isn't a very good preacher. Let's talk about it if we can. I want to come to his content in a moment, but let's talk about what makes him either a good or bad preacher, aside from his popularity, just in terms of the preaching.
Sure. You know, I did like the way the article was so blunt on that, to quote, he is not a good preacher. Now, that's a pretty harsh judgment, pretty directed. I happen to agree with it, however, on several levels. And you're right, there are a number of elements involved there. He certainly has that smile, that polish that is very attractive, and a message that people find delightful. To be honest, I also agree with what Smith, the author of that Wall Street Journal article, says when he says he's actually really boring. The manner, to me, really is rather stiff. It does not seem to me to be a real live and in person communication. It's made for TV with all that entails. But of course, it's also true that the content is the real problem. The absence of what we really want to hear in good preaching.
What do you mean by that?
Well, St. Paul makes it really very simple in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. He says, when I was among you, I determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Christian preaching always, if Paul is right, and of course he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, is always going to be the cross of Jesus Christ. There are so many things that people want to hear, and Joel Osteen is well in tune with that. Joel Osteen knows that people like to feel good about themselves. People want to hear an easy word. The truth is, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the easiest word, but it comes after the very, very humbling word that says, on our own, we can never have a relationship with God, that we fall short of the glory of God, again, the way St. Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6. We all are desperate for the forgiveness of sins that Jesus earned on the cross. And that's the first thing that has to be in every truly good sermon. And I would even say a sermon that isn't boring. I would say something that goes beyond the popular expectation, that really cuts to the heart. We remember how Peter in Acts chapter 2 cut to the heart of that Pentecost crowd when he told them they had killed the Messiah. And the text says that they were cut to the heart and said, brothers, what shall we do? They, of course, were then expecting for Peter to say that there was no hope, that it was without any future possibility of hope at all. And then Peter comes across with a wonderful gospel that says when we repent and are baptized, we have the forgiveness of all of our sins, because that's what Jesus earned for us on the cross. And that promises even to our children, to us and to our children, all who are afar off. That continues to be true today, even in far-off centuries, as well as a far-off part of the world from first-century Jerusalem. And when Joel Osteen smiles at us and says that we already are sitting pretty, and that all we really have to do is set aside the things in our own conscience, in our own inhibitions that are preventing us from going forward, that all will be well. Well, he really isn't giving us what we need, and he's really not giving us what's relevant to life today. If people step back for just a moment and listen to what Joel Osteen and other prosperity gospel preachers are saying, it really does not ring true. We know that the world is not as hunky-dory as that, and we suspect that the power to advance ourselves is not really in ourselves. We really are in a situation that needs help, and real Christian preaching tells us where that real help comes, the only place from which it comes, and that is, as Paul put so well, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's where we hear so much preaching fall short, whether it's 4, 8, 12, 16, 20 minutes longer or even shorter.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about that, because in Joel Osteen you have an example of him being a bad preacher in two senses. One, he's robotic, he's stiff, he's sing-songy, he's repetitive to the point of being almost infuriating. And then in the other sense, his content is hardly Christian. It's not even Christian-ish, lacking Christ most of the time. Can there be a great orator, preacher in that sense, who is a terrible preacher in the theological sense?
Sure, that's really possible. In fact, this is one element of the article, Perry Smith's article in the Wall Street Journal, that I really chuckled at. He talked about the old-time religion, the tent revivalists, and he even talked about how that was still alive and well in his youth in the 1950s. And he was very impressed with the manner of the preaching in that case. While he takes Joel Osteen to task, he said this was really passionate, this was powerful, and this was well-received by many. He did say, on the other hand, that he hated it, frankly, because, among other things, it demanded instant conversion. Are you saved? Do you profess Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you got the Holy Spirit? And that's where something that is passionate, that is sincere, can nevertheless fall short. That is, if the content really does not give us the true biblical message, the message of Christ, rather than looking into ourselves, to our own emotions, our own commitments, as he described that instant conversion where suddenly we have to be having a great emotional experience. So there is the possibility of being exceedingly polished and sincere and powerful, dynamic in delivery, and fall short for lack of the content. The flip side, you know, is unfortunate, but it can be used by the Holy Spirit. That is, the preacher who really isn't gifted in oratory, his rhetoric isn't polished, perhaps his personality is very circumscribed, very safe, not very emotive. Now, people may say that doesn't turn them on. They may say he's not much of a preacher. In that case, though, if it really is Christ and him crucified that preacher is proclaiming, the Holy Spirit can use it powerfully, because, once again, the sufficiency is never in ourselves. The preacher himself is never the power that brings people to faith or keeps them or strengthens them in faith in Christ Jesus. And so we look at the preaching task as a tremendously difficult challenge, something that's very, very hard to do. We're humbled by our own inadequacy. Therefore, we do work very hard to do everything we can to present the message to the best of our ability, and that includes good judgment about the length of the sermon. It includes the very best reading of our hearers, the knowing of our hearers that we can muster, the skills that we can best polish, all of that is in play. Ultimately, though, we're comforted by the assurance that the message itself, the gospel of Christ, has the power. The Holy Spirit is using that message. And when that message is proclaimed, whether our gifts are impressive or unimpressive altogether, the Christian message, the gospel of Christ Jesus, works what the Holy Spirit intends, and that's always the best.
Two final things for you, picking up right there where you left us. That is the guy who can stand in the pulpit and may struggle to get out a listenable sermon, but is faithful to Holy Scripture and proclaims Christ in both law and gospel. Don't we have an example of that kind of guy in the, you know, what people regard to be the greatest evangelist ever to have lived, St. Paul, who by his own admission and by reputation apparently was not a lot to look at or listen to in person?
Absolutely. That's what Paul says about himself. He talks about being among us with fear and trembling. He talks about how his presence is not impressive. He even quotes those who say his words are weighty, but his presence is not impressive at all. Paul may have been modest, and there's no sin in that, but probably, realistically, Paul is expressing the true observation of the hearers. It's even true that when Paul and Barnabas were together in Lystra, it was a misunderstanding that said that Barnabas must be Zeus and Paul Hermes. That was because, of course, Paul was the chief speaker, but somehow Barnabas had a more impressive presence. And so it really is very comforting to us to know that God could use St. Paul for magnificent results, the Holy Spirit's intended results that change the world, even without a really impressive manner and delivery. That's true.
Finally, the thing that is not addressed in the Wall Street Journal column, but that you mentioned just a moment ago, is one of the things that I think, Pastor Matt Harrison has emphasized this at every opportunity recently, and that is the need for the preacher to be a pastor, that is to know his people, to know his hearers. Your thoughts on that as an indispensable element in Sunday morning preaching.
It really is, and that's one of the things that the Reformation restored to preaching. Prior to the Reformation, there were a lot of itinerant preachers, mendicant friars who were traveling here and there, and many of them had rather impressive manners, very charismatic kind of presentations. But Luther was very, very clear that the one who preaches the gospel on Sunday morning to the people should also be the one who knows them from all of his pastoral care during the week. I think every veteran pastor has a sense that when he's preparing a sermon, he feels more comfortable. He feels more able to deliver a message that is really relevant and applicable if he can picture his hearers, his dear members, as he is working in his office. And that means it's so crucial that he not be in his office all the time, that he be with his people in their homes, in the hospital, in all the situations of life that they experience, because truly the gospel of Christ crucified really does apply to each situation that people experience on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, not just for those few minutes on Sunday morning.
Dr. Carl Fekencher is Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's always a pleasure, Dr. Fekencher, and thanks for being our guest.
You bet, Todd. Always a pleasure for me as well.
When we come back, we're going to go from the Wall Street Journal column to a recent survey on the rise of informality in worship. Well, is this something that's unique to Sunday morning or to church, the rise of informality? I think everything's more informal than it used to be. Heck, I'm more informal than I used to be. I can go dressed as I am right now, as though I walked out of the gym. I can walk into just about any place, and no one will glance at me twice. Grocery store, I could go to the movies, I could go to a restaurant. People wouldn't glance at me twice. Now, I wouldn't dress this way or even behave this way when I went to church. Why is that? What is formality when it comes to Sunday morning worship. Pastor David Peterson is going to be our guest on the other side of the break on this Monday afternoon, September the 15th, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're going to talk about a new survey on the rise of informality in the church, or we could say the decrease of formality in worship. Stay tuned.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Your church service, sanctuary, and congregation are all unique, so why settle for low-quality recordings when your organist is unavailable? The Substitute Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. Log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit to allow you and your members to use the Substitute Organist Service without obligation and without a sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait,